I got tested when I was a kid too, and was also told I didn't have ADHD because I was a pleasure to have in class. Hello, and welcome back to the Hard Feelings Podcast. This is, of course, my mental health podcast where I talk about things like anxiety and depression, jealousy, rage, ADHD, which can have so many effects on your mental health, aka hard feelings. Oh my goodness. If this is your first time here, hi, hello. My name is Giovanna. I am a Virgo. It is so nice to meet you. I'm drinking a strawberry lemonade today. I also have these really cute wisteria earrings that Shop Kike was nice enough to send me. If you're not watching, come on over to YouTube and watch the visual podcast, mostly just because I wear cute outfits. I don't always wear cute outfits. I have a cute t-shirt on today, but I have a sweatshirt on with it because it's a little chilly. And I'm describing, giving a visual description to anyone who's curious. I have long, dark, curly hair. See, now that feels like, no, I want to be descriptive, but that almost had a sensual air to it. Girl, we're getting off topic. We're getting off topic. That actually feels very appropriate though, because today's episode is about ADHD. Do I have it? And doesn't even freaking matter, dude. Okay, I'm really excited to talk about this. I'm also a little nervous to talk about it because I have not felt like I fit into the ADHD profile until very recently, like within the last year. Because as a kid, like a lot of kids who grew up in the early 2000s, my mom had me tested and they said, nope, she's all good. No neurodivergence there. That gal is smart as a whip and good as normal. I'm sure they didn't say it exactly like that. But you know, my mom was told there's nothing wrong with this chick. She's all good to go. And now as an adult, I am finding a lot of things that I experienced as a kid can be explained by ADHD, can be explained by neurodivergence. And that's really been very empowering for me. It makes me feel less crazy. I hate to ever use the word crazy, you know, as a mental health advocate, not a therapist, not a psychiatrist. Good to put this disclaimer at the beginning. It is very empowering to me to know that this feeling that made me feel a lot of shame as a kid, made me feel like I was lazy, made me feel like I was a bad person because I couldn't focus, can all be explained by just having a brain that's wired a little bit differently. ADHD has just as many advantages as it is to disadvantages. So many of us who work in the creative field have ADHD or have some kind of neurodivergence, and that can be our superpower because it really allows us to explore our passions, the things that we are passionate about, we tend to go full-blown all into, and that can be really cool. One of my passions is creative makeup. But the reason I said I want to talk about do we have ADHD and does it even matter is because when I first discovered that I might have ADHD a year ago, it felt very important to me to get a diagnosis. I went online, I found a telemedicine type of thing. You know, there's a million apps now that can diagnose you with ADHD online with actual doctors. Like, you have to be diagnosed by a psychiatrist and then they can potentially prescribe you medicine. But that was never my intention. I wanted somebody to tell me that it was the right answer. Which is just like such a neurodivergent thing to want somebody to tell you, like, for sure, concrete, logical evidence that you have this specific thing and you can't possibly diagnose yourself because you're not the expert. So you need an expert to tell you. And I had even scheduled this telemedicine call and I was telling my boyfriend about it, who has ADHD and was on medication for it for a long time when he was a kid. And he just asked me, why do you want to get this diagnosis? Do you want to get on medication? And I was like, oh, no. And he was like, oh, okay. So, like, what will it change for you getting the diagnosis? And I was like, I'll have an answer that I definitely am. And he was like, well, do you feel like you are? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, do you really need a diagnosis? And I was like, oh, shoot. I guess I really just did want a doctor to tell me that I wasn't faking anything. That's a big thing I struggle with, my neurodivergence, is worrying that I'm faking things for attention, even though I keep them to myself for a very, very, very long time before even bringing them up. So, like, what attention am I getting other than the voices in my head? But yeah, ever since that conversation with my boyfriend, I just kind of accepted for myself that, like, okay, yeah, I'm the only person who it really matters if I think I am or not. And if I'm gonna go out and seek coping mechanisms for ADHD and they help me, what is the harm done? So that's how I've been treating it. I am a self-diagnosed ADHD person. A lot of young girls are misdiagnosed with ADHD. Editing me popping in to say that I meant a lot of young girls have their ADHD diagnosis missed. They are misdiagnosed as neurotypical. And that's kind of how I even started fathoming, musing about that I possibly might be ADHD is that I saw all of these posts online of people around my age, like women in their late 20s, saying, I got tested when I was a kid too, and was also told I didn't have ADHD because I was a pleasure to have in class. Hi, that was on all of my report cards. I was a really well-behaved kid, and I think in the 90s, early 2000s, if you're a millennial like me, there was a big emphasis on that H in ADHD, right? It really focused on boys who were hyperactive. And I say boys because it really felt like all of the people I knew with ADHD in school were boys. And I know for a fact that can't be mathematically possible for me to be in such a large class, you know, a class of like over 400 kids, and there's no girls with ADHD. Like, I don't know. And like, I guess that's just the ones that were pointed out in class. I don't know. When I was in elementary school, like, you knew if someone in your class had ADHD because they had like a special helper that was in the class that was supposed to make sure they stayed on task and make sure they behaved. And it was always for the boys. But yeah, a lot of young girls get misdiagnosed because we are really taught how to behave from a young age. We just are, you know, little girls tend to be better behaved than little boys overall. That's an umbrella term that obviously doesn't mean overall, like, it's gonna go one way or the other. But, you know, in a patriarchal society, little girls are expected to behave in a polite way from a very young age. Girls are expected to be good. Boys are expected to be good too, but it's more understanding when they're not. They're like, boys, you know, boys will be boys. Whereas like little girls, no, you better be quiet and sit down and do your work. So yeah, a lot of us get missed on the neurodivergence scale because we are just trained from such a young age to be good and to be polite. I was talking about this a lot with my therapist this week. Different examples from my childhood that just keep popping up as like clear examples of me having ADHD that I didn't pick up on at the time. In third grade, I was playing Cat's Cradle. Y'all remember Cat's Cradle, the little yarn game? If you're a millennial, you probably remember. That was like sweeping the nation in the early 2000s. Everyone in my class was playing with it. Most people were playing with like the yarn, just like yarn that they were doing Cat's Cradle. But my mom got me a Klutz book that came with a rainbow rope Cat's Cradle, and it was really nice. And I was playing with it in my desk while I was paying attention in class just to keep my hands busy, and the teacher confiscated it and she threw it away, and that was really, really devastating to me. And I never did anything like that with my hands again because I was like, oh wow, that's clearly not okay, when I was paying attention. And that same teacher had told my mom before that sometimes it looks like I'm daydreaming and not paying attention, but then when she calls on me, I know the answer. Just because I'm doodling in my notebook or looking off out the window, like, doesn't mean that I am not listening. And as a kid, I just really like learned those as bad behaviors. Like, instead of having the self-advocacy, you know, having the fully developed brain to be able to advocate for myself and say, no, I'm not doing anything wrong, I just said like, oh, okay, these are distractions. These are a disturbance to the class, so I shouldn't be doing them. So instead, I'll just sit here and fiddle and fidget with my fingers because I have nothing to hold, and I'll try to pay attention, but my focus is all over the place because I don't have something to stimulate my little neurodivergent brain. But I also had some amazing teachers who accommodated neurodivergent people and ADHD people without even making a thing of it. Like, I had a sixth grade teacher who would let us chew gum during tests, and you would not believe the impact this had on the class. The way we would celebrate, because one, we weren't allowed to have gum in school. Like, most of you probably. I would love to know if you live in a different country, were you also allowed to not have gum in school? In America, they do not like you chewing gum in school. So this was like a very specific, special thing. And it was only when we took tests and she had like different flavors and stuff. It was so awesome. And it made me, like, it took away some of the anxiety of test taking, because this was science, okay? I was never really a science girly in school. That was not my strong subject. But just like adding in that little added, you know, stimulant makes it sound like a drug, but I just mean like a thing that stimulates your brain, especially if you have a neurodivergent, highly wired brain like I do. Like, it was just so nice to be able to chew gum, and she did that for the whole class, and it was so great. And then I had another teacher, I think it was in fourth grade, who let us use stress balls. She had a big bin of stress balls on her desk, and you could just take them at any time and use them during a test. That was amazing. I feel like teachers were so accommodating during test taking to like ADHD needs, but it's like, why couldn't we do that all the time? And and I get it, it's hard out there for teachers. You know, kids get distracted so easily, and they distract other kids. I've heard people say before, like, oh, it's I feel like everybody just has ADD. Everybody's a little ADD or ADHD. We all get easily distracted. And I do agree that probably over time, maybe, with maybe you got a point there with the, you know, increase of social media and kids having phones at younger ages and video games and stuff and iPad babies, and maybe kids are more distracted now. So I do understand teachers, like, really trying to limit things in class, but I feel like there's gotta be some middle ground there. Like, there's gotta be some sort of middle ground where you can let the kids use the stress balls as long as they're not throwing them at each other. Another thing that I think really helped my ADHD growing up and helped me manage it and therefore not really present as much of having, like, that H, the hyperactive part of it, is that my mom always had me involved in sports and dance and gymnastics and physical activities. Like, from a very young age, I was taking dance class, and that stuck with me all throughout high school. I did dance from ages, like, 3 to 18, and then I did soccer from kindergarten to 5th grade in addition to dance, and then I stopped doing that and took more dance classes. Like, I was moving my body all of the time, every single day of the week, because even when I wasn't in dance classes, I was playing outside with my neighborhood friends. I was so lucky to grow up in a neighborhood with a lot of kids around my age, and we played outside every single time we could, every chance we could. We were playing outside, we were riding bikes, we were riding scooters, we were running around, we were chasing each other, we were rolling down hills. Like, we were active kids. We were getting our energy out. So I think, you know, there's this thing where a lot of kids get misdiagnosed with ADHD and then grow up to be adults and feel like, where did this come from? I felt like that. I felt like, did I always struggle to focus this much? Was it always this hard for me? Especially when I got to college, you know, so many freaking distractions in college. Dude, like, especially going to college away from home, but not having that physical activity anymore, like, of having the dance classes every day of the week, I think made it feel more evident for me, and maybe I didn't realize at the time. And then especially after graduating college and moving into adult life, I was really started to become more evident for me. For me, it became the most evident, though, when I was finally able to slow down. I was laid off from a management job right before the pandemic hit, so I, you know, was kind of thrown into the being at home all the time thing with along with everybody else, and I haven't gone back to work since. I transitioned into a work from home job, and now I work for myself, which is amazing. I know it's a very privileged position to be in, but that is when I realized that I was neurodivergent. That's when I realized that I had ADHD, and I had just been working through burnout, pushing through burnout for years and years and years, and it wasn't until I finally stopped that I was able to realize that. And now I'm actually able to do things that help me to get through the day, which, again, I know is a very privileged position. What I want for all neurodivergent people is to be able to get a work from home job, if that's what you want. Of course, if you're really happy working in a field that's fulfilling for you, that's great, but I want all of us to get jobs that we're allowed to accommodate our needs in, because it's amazing the quality of work you can put out there, the creativity, the things you can create when you are giving yourself the accommodations that your ADHD brain needs. And I wish everybody could do that all day, every day. I was gonna film earlier in the day today, but I just, like, wasn't feeling it. It was just feeling really hard, and I was feeling this pressure to push through it. That's what I used to do to myself all the time. When I'd really be struggling to focus, I'd say, just push through it, just power through it. And I wouldn't do a good job. I wouldn't give it my best effort because I was more worried about finishing the task than doing it well. Whereas now, when I can, I accommodate myself in that way. So earlier today, I was gonna film this and I just wasn't feeling inspired to do the makeup. I don't know, it just wasn't clicking. I was really struggling to focus. So I went for a walk outside while listening to music and wrote, like, a really long thing of notes for this podcast today, and wrote down all of my thoughts and felt so much more clear about what I wanted to say when I came inside. So, like, I could have pushed through and put out a subpar podcast episode. I don't think I would have been able to piece together my thoughts in a way that made sense if I didn't go for that walk, because I needed to get some energy out. I needed to get outside. I needed the fresh air. Another great way to break up the day besides going for a walk is dancing. You don't gotta be a dancer. You don't gotta take dance lessons for 15 years to be able to do this. It just put on songs that make you want to dance and just move your body. Like, literally, somatic therapy. I say this all the time. Somatic therapy is probably better for ADHD people than anyone else. No, I shouldn't make wild statements like that. I'm sure it's good for everybody, but, like, especially if you have ADHD, move your body, dude. Put on some music and just shake your body, dance. Like, no one is watching, because no one is watching, because you're doing this by yourself. But it really does help you to get some of that energy out, and I feel so much more focused afterwards. My therapist was saying that exercise has actually been proven to help you focus more, so moving your body and then going in to start a task puts you in a better, more focused mind space, and I was like, what the shut the front door, dude? Really? That's crazy. Wow, that makes me feel like now I really don't need to be ashamed for doing it, even when I walk for a really long time, because I'm listening to my audiobook on my walk, and I'm reading the second book in the Crescent City series right now, and it's so freaking good, and there's so many twists and turns, and I can't wait to listen to it after I finish filming this. That's another thing I wish they would have incorporated into the school system was audiobooks. I struggled so much to read the assigned reading, specifically in high school. I don't know, I just feel like in middle school and elementary school, the books were more interesting. And then in high school, they started to feel more boring to me and I could not focus. I could not read The Scarlet Letter. I could not read Heart of Darkness. I wanted to, I tried to, I physically could not get through these books. I'm sorry to say, Mom, I read the Spark Notes. I did my absolute best to read these books, but I just had to read descriptions of what the book was about because I could not focus on it to get through it as hard as I tried. I wish audiobooks had been an option because I love audiobooks now. I've read so many more audiobooks, and you know what? It's a lot of fun when you don't shame yourself for not physically reading. It's, you know, it's the same thing. Who cares if somebody else is reading to you? You're still getting the story. Subscribing to Audible was like the best thing I've ever done. Shout out to my friend Harley who made me get an Audible subscription because she kept recommending a book to me and I told her I would love to read that, but I physically can't sit down and focus long enough to read. And she was like, why aren't you just listening to books? And I was like, oh, that's cheating. That's not reading. And she was like, be so for real right now. And I was not being so for real then, but I am being so for real now. You should listen to audiobooks if you have ADHD. It's wonderful. It's also just a great way. It's like a massage for my brain sometimes. Ugh, just to listen to a fictional story. You know, get you some fiction in your life if you have ADHD too. I started my reading journey with just reading self-help books and like read a lot of really interesting ones. But I found that it's a lot more fun to read about fantasy, to read about fairies and vampires, and for me that's just a really fun way to escape reality and kind of like give my brain a nice gentle massage. Ugh, and as neurodivergent people, our neurons are wired more, and more tightly is not the right way to describe it. My therapist explained the science to me so many times, but basically we have like more connections in our neurons, which makes us more sensitive to things, which can be a superpower, but can also lead us to burnout. So like, you need that little brain massage sometimes. And fantasy novels are my brain massage. Oh my gosh, I've been rambling so much in this episode, which isn't surprising because it's the ADHD episode. The ADHD episode. There will be more. There will definitely be more. I'm sure I won't forget things to say. But another thing that I found is really helpful to me with ADHD is breaking tasks into much smaller tasks. Like for me, an example I'd give would be editing this video. You know, I might have like 10 clips. So instead of putting the item on my task list is edit video, I will put edit video and then I will put clip 1 through 10 and then I'm shading it in as I go and it makes me feel accomplished and it helps me to focus. Another thing I do to help me focus and stay on task is always having beverages, always having multiple beverages. I got my water, I always have my giant water bottle with me and then at least one other beverage, usually one fun, one for hydration and one for caffeine, but I've already had too much caffeine today so I just have the two right now. I know that's become like a meme of ADHD people always having a million beverages, but I genuinely mean this piece of advice because it's like a reward. It's a reward system. Every time I feel like I'm starting to get distracted from a task and I need to like refocus up, I just stop and take a little sip of my beverage. It's kind of placeboing myself almost like, ooh, and I'm taking a little sip from my magic potion and then I'll be focused again. But who cares? You know, it helps me focus, so I'm gonna keep doing it. And that is really my philosophy with all ADHD advice. Like I said, rather you're self-diagnosed or officially diagnosed, if certain ADHD coping skills help you, then who freaking cares, right? You know, I'm not somebody at this point in my life who wants to take medication for it, and I feel like I'm able to accommodate myself enough that I don't need it. But whether you're self-diagnosed or officially diagnosed, if these skills are working for you, then just keep doing them. Who cares if you're the only one squeezing a stress ball at your desk? Know that I'm there in spirit with you, squeezing my own stress ball and also peeling all of the letters off of it. It used to have a bunch of letters, and I sit here and I slowly have been peeling them off. I'll be bummed when they're totally gone, but I'm right there with you squeezing my stress ball. Sometimes I think we just as a whole, as a society, feel like if we're not suffering, we're not working hard enough. And I really want to be a part of the generation to change that. I don't want to suffer. I don't long to suffer for my work, for my art. I just want to enjoy life. Again, I know I'm in a lucky position, but accommodate yourself in any way you can. And I find that most workplaces now are getting more progressive into accommodating people's needs. And if they're not, then like, how cool would it be if you were the person to start to bring that up in the workplace? You know, chat with HR. Chat with HR about it. I say as my own HR person, and she always approves me to go for a walk in the middle of the day. Anyway, I think we should be at the end of the episode now because I'm almost done with my strawberry lemonade, but ooh, we gotta talk about the mental health bop of the week. This week's mental health bop of the week song is a song that makes me feel like I can turn my brain off, and that is So High School by Taylor Swift. This is such a glitter gel pen song from Taylor. It's so cute. I don't even like care about the lyrics. Like I do. I it's really cute how the lyrics relate to Travis and everything, but like something about this song is similar to Beyonce's Bodyguard, where I just cannot help but move my body, and it makes me feel like sparkle emoji, pink heart emoji, purple heart emoji, double heart emojis, a heart with the arrow going through it. Like it just makes me feel so lovely and wonderful, and it makes me like want to punch the air with excitement. And I have really needed that lately, as do we all. I think we all need a little bit of So High School in our lives. You don't need to relate to it to enjoy it, you know, but it's just something about it reminds me of Hits Different from Midnight's, the 3 a.m. tracks, where it's not necessarily like a song I can super relate to. The vibes of the song are absolutely immaculate. I feel like my last many songs have just been songs that have immaculate vibes. And I started out this series or this part of my podcast with being like, these are all gonna be like really deep songs that have to do with mental health. I think one of the first ones I shared was Revolution Zero by Boy Genius, which is like such a deep song. And now I'm like, So High School by Taylor Swift because of the vibes. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Hard Feelings Podcast. If it's your first time listening, oh my gosh, hi, subscribe. I got like 39 other episodes, maybe 40 now. I got a lot of other episodes that you should go listen to. Check out the description box if you're interested in any of the makeup I'm wearing today. I also put a link to the Mental Health Pop of the Week down there. And I thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next week with another new episode. Bye, take care of yourself.